Yep. Okay. Today's daf is Shkalim daf Hey. We are starting the second to last line on Dalet Amud Beis, where it says Rav Chiya. That's where we're going to start from. So we are in the discussion of the kalbone, which was the extra payment that was paid with the Machsa Shekel. Machlokas Tanaim, when does one pay the kalbone? Rabbi Meir had said that the kalbone is a din d'oraisa to add on. Everybody always has to add on the kalbone. While the Chachamim say no, it's a din d'rabbanan in lieu of the money changer's fee. So we had a different, various machloksim regarding that yesterday. The last line of the Mishnah was talking about that there's an inverse relationship between kalbone and Maaser Behema. A kalbone you only pay when you're from your own assets. Maaser Behema you only pay if you are not shutfin, if you're not partners. So when those two halachas are in a situation where they're opposite, sometimes you'll be chayv, sometimes you'll be patur. The example that the Gemara gave was if Yarshim have assets of their father before they split it up, so it's as if they're paying machzor shekel from that, so it's as if the father is giving the kalbon for the sons, even though the father's dead. But if it's the machzor shekel is being paid by the estate, so there is no kalbon that's mechuyev in that case. Yet there is ma'aser behema because there's no shutfin. They're all it's all like one party that owns the nechasim. Mashenkin, in the opposite case, if the yarshim split up the property and then get together, so then in that case they are considered partners. They'll be potter for ma'aser behema, but they'll be chayav and kalbon because it'll be considered as if they're paying from their own money. And the Gemara yesterday had said, what about Brera? That was with the last few lines that we ran through at the end of the shir. So now we're starting the second to last line. Still talking about this idea of the kalbon. Rabbi Chiya Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'i. Rabbi Chiya asks, V'lama les non amrin? Why did the Mishnah also say, not that they're always inversely proportional, but pa'amim shein chayav in bazeh bazeh, u'pa'amim shein peturim mizeh mizeh. Sometimes, I'll give you a case where you're chayav in both kalbon and ma'aser behema, and I'll give you a case where you're patur from both. Hey Chavida, what case? Skip the parentheses. So chilku hanachasim velo chilku habehema. Let's say they split up the nechasim, the properties they split up amongst themselves, the children. But regarding all the animals that the father left them, they did not split up. So let's think about this. So regarding the animals, it's still considered tfusas habayis. It's still considered owned by the father. Regarding the animals, so regarding ma'aser behema, they're going to be chayiv. Because they're not partners regarding the animals. They didn't split up the animals, so that's why they're going to be chayiv. Under the case of the rest of the nechasim, they did split it up. So regarding the rest of the nechasim, it's theirs. So it's as if they paid the kalbon for their own money. So that's why this is a case where you're going to be chayiv kalbon and chayiv ma'aser behema. It's not always going to be inversely proportional. In the case where you split up the nechasim and you did not split up the animal. What about the other case? Chilku abehema v'lo chilku adachasim. Let's say they split up the animals, so it's as if the animals are owned by themselves, and then they got together again, so then you're going to be putter for ma'aser behema. Because ma'aser behema, again, you're going to be putter if it's a partnership. So if they split up the animals, and then they got together again, so that's a putter for ma'aser behema. But if they did split up the nechasim, so the nechasim is as if it's still owned by the father. So if it's still owned by the father, so the machzor shekel is being paid by the father's estate. It's as if the machzor shekel is being paid by somebody other than the person himself. And therefore, you're going to be pater from kalbon. So that's a case of peturim mizeh mizeh. That's a case where you're going to be pater both from kalbon and from ma'aser behema. Abu Rabbi Mana has a limitation. Hada da'at amar. When do you say that if you split up the nechasim, your chayiv and kalbon, bishalo ha'isa ha'behema rov? If the animals that you didn't split up are not the rov, as long as the other assets are the rov, so then you'll say that you're going to be chayiv in the kalbon. Avalam ha'isa ha'behema rov, but if the behemos, if this person had a lot of animals, and most of his assets are animals, and those were not split up, then even if the other assets were split up, you're still going to be putter from the kalbon. Why? Hein ikar nechasim. You go by the rove of the assets. If rove of the assets were the animals which were not split up, so then you treat all the assets as if they weren't split up, and you'll be putter from the kalbon in that case. So it'll still be considered, even though they split up the rest of the assets, but it'll be considered as if the father is paying for the children, because you'd go by the ikar nechasim, and therefore there'll be a putter for the kalbon. Rabbi Avin, Amar Reb Shimi, Ba'i. Rabbi Avin was bothered by this whole idea that if you didn't split out the assets, it's as if the father still has them, so then, you know, there'll be nafgaminas related to that, because it'll still be considered the father's money. And the way that some of the farshim explain this is that I understand that you're going to go l'chumra if it's owned by the father. It's owned by the father, so therefore you're going to go l'chumra and say that the children are chayiv in ma'aser behema. It's as if they didn't split it up, it's as if it's owned by the father, there's no partnership here, and therefore you have to go l'chumra and pay ma'aser behema. But you're going to tell me that you're going to go l'kula also? You're going to say it's as if it's owned by the father, not owned by them, and therefore it's as if you're going to go l'kula and say that they're pater from kalbon? You go that far? That's the language he said. Because it's like Adam Echad regarding Meister Behema. I understand that. That's a lachumra. Ath potrim and a kalbon. You're going to positive a kalbon and even lakula. You're going to say this idea that it's as if it's owned by the father? So that's what he's bothered by. So Amar Leh Gemara answers, yeah. Lo shan yehi. Yeah, this case is different. Shu no sein sela echad shlema. It's as if the father is giving one whole sela for the machzor shekel of all the kids, of the two kids. So that's why, yeah, it's not a question of kula and chumra. It's as if the father still owns these properties, and therefore, you know, there are ramifications, both l'kula and l'chumra. So don't be surprised. It's not a suffix that you're going in, that you're treating it. You have to go l'chumra in both directions. No, you treat it as if it's all owned by the father. Me'ata. So continues Rabbi Avin. If that's true, it's always owned by the father. So then afilu chilku v'chazav v'nishtatfu. So why, if they split it up and then came back and became partners, chayav v'maisav v'ebu p'turmin akelbon. So you should say it's always like owned by the father. And even if they would split it up and then come back together, you know, first he couldn't believe that it was true that you consider the money as if it's owned by the father. And now he says, if that's such a strong idea, that if something is owned by the father, you're going to be chayav and ma'aser behema and pater from kelbon, so then even if they take the nechasim, split it up, and then come back together, why shouldn't it revert back to its original state? Why don't you say, now it's owned by the father again? V'tanina, but we don't say that in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we say, chayav and kelbon, ubertur ma'aser behema, if they split it up and then re-partner it. So Gemara answers, no, because that's a different case. Once they split it up and they become partners, so it's not like a Yerusha anymore. It's not an estate. Rabbi Ba Mishem Abba Bar Rav Huna, he shtei achav sheyarshu esavien, he shtei gizah sheyarshu eschamien. When you have two brothers that yarshin the father, and then split up the properties, and then go and become partners, so it's just like two strangers. It's like two brothers-in-law that yarshin a father-in-law. Okay, it just gives that example. It really means like two strangers. It's like to anybody who comes together and becomes partners. Once they split it up, so if, even though they become partners afterwards, you don't say it goes back to what originally was. So number one, the Gemara answers to Rabbi Avin Amar Rav Simi. Number one, it is considered as if all the assets are owned by the father, originally, Lakula and Lachumra. But once they split it up, even if they would become partners again, they're called partners. They're called partners, and therefore you'd be Pater from Ma'aser Behema and Chayev and Kalbon. Okay. Let us continue. Says the Gemara, Lahechen Hayu HaKelbonos Noflin. What did you use the Kelbonos for? Where did it go? We know that the Shkalim were used for buying Karbanos, buying Karbanos Sibur. So what were the Kelbonos, these extra monies, used for? Remeir Omer L'Shkalim. Remeir said it was also used for Shkalim. This is, the Tiklan Chazin points out, Remeir L'Shitaso. Remeir says yesterday that the kelbon is a dinda oraisa. Just like shekel is dinda oraisa, so too the kelbon. So it makes sense, they're both going to the same source, because they're both, the kelbon is a dinda oraisa hosafa onto the ikar adin machzor shekel. So that's what it makes sense, the Remeir says l'shkalim. Rebbe Elazar Omer l'nedava, it goes for nedava, in other words, to bar karbanos that are brought on the Mizbeach for Nedavos. Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer, Rikua Zaha Vitsipui Lebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was used for making the thin gold plates and pieces that were used in the Kodesh Kadoshim. That's amazing. These kalbonos were used daka for the Kodesh Kadoshim. You would think that this is just an extra. This is a Dinder Rabbanan, maybe. Right, you have to add on the kelbon. This was used for the tzipui, for making the gold kedeged the kodesh kadashim. I thought out derech drash. One could say, I didn't say anybody who notes this. I thought derech drash. I saw something yesterday in the Magalias Hashas from the Admir Mistritkov that says nireh shetikra chachamim dafka kain. Why would chachamim misakin a kelbone. Okay, we know why it's the money changer's fee, but that they don't have to pay. But why? What's the musar haska from the kelbone? The lami lanu shafilu b'mitzvah zu sha'amra Torah ha'asher lo yarbe v'hodah lo yamit. Even by this mitzvah, where we have to give a specific amount, we can't hold ourselves back. We got to give more. We got to be mosif. Sarach tabid la hosif for the doctor Yosef Mishur Sadid. Vahalibaru lakal mitzvah zechiyuvin. Sha'al yis tapik ha'adab ba'asiyasan ki mechuya v'apiyadin. El yem mosif ha'osif for the Mishur Sadid. Always try to do more and more, even if there's a specific amount that you have to give. So I thought maybe because that's like above and beyond, that's symbolizing our lefnim mishur hasadin, that's why it's zocha, according to his opinion, to be used in the Kodesh Kodashim. Kodesh Kodashim, the most holy place, what are you using there? If you use it, this kelbo, which symbolizes a Jew's going out of his way for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, really, he doesn't have to give this mikra hadin. But he's going above and beyond, so maybe that's why it's zocha to be used for the riku izoha, v'tzipu the Beit Kodesh HaKodashim. Just a thought. Yeah. No, it was in lieu of the moneymaker, but it was given to the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning if two of us went to give a whole seller, which is two machzor shekels, to the Beis HaMikdash, so there was I gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. If I would be doing this transaction with a hedyo, with something not to do with the Beis HaMikdash, I would have to pay a fee. So to Chazal said, you know what, if you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash also, you know, pay the fee as well, even though nobody's changing money. But all the money is going to the Beis HaMikdash.
So if I change money by the
moneymaker... Right. Then I would have to add on the extra amount.
So what happened to the extra amount of the money maker there?
What happened? But here there is the money maker didn't get any money. Here there was no money maker. There was no money changer. Here just went to the Beis HaMikdash. It's just in lieu of, if I would be doing this parallel transaction by a hedyot, nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, I would have to pay an extra fee. So Chazal said, you know what, when you're giving this to the Beis HaMikdash, even though there's nobody changing anything, but because it's a parallel transaction, you know, give this extra little money. If you a regular plain half a shekel, then you don't have to give anything extra, according to the Rabbanan. Right, there was no kelbon for them. Only a kelbon, according to the Chachamim, if you teamed up and you're giving us something that wouldn't require to be changed. According to Rabbi Meir, we said yesterday that this kelbon is a mitzvah daraisa. So everybody has to give it. Every single person has to give the kelbon, according to Rabbi Meir. But if you say, everybody who gives even a single machzor shekel. But the Rabbanan say, no, it has to do with the money changer, so that's why the extra amount had to be added on.
How
we pass them like the Rabbanan, that only if you're doing it you're giving both for one person, one thing for two people. Continuing the Gemara, other opinions, what happened to the kelbon? But Azay Omar Shulchanin Hal Yinotlin Bischaran. Maybe the Shulchanin, the if there were money changers sometimes that worked in the countries or even in Yerushalayim that used to change money for people, so the kelbon went to them. If they actually had to, were used for changing money. And others say it was for hotza'as drachim. What's hotza'as drachim? So Tikkun Chatid here quotes two pshatim. Either just to help people pay for the trip to Yerushalayim, A, or to help the people who the money changers, if those same money changers came to Yerushalayim to help people out to change machzor shekels for them, so you paid for that. Either way, it's to help people make the trip to Yerushalayim. Varying the Tikkun Chatid Supshatim is which people, Bnei Yisrael or the Shulchanim that helped out Bnei Yisrael. Oh, Hadra Lach Perak Bechad Ba'adar. Finish the first Perak of Shkala. Light Mas Nisin Mitzarfin. One is allowed, if somebody collected machzor shekels, and they have a lot of machzor shekels, let's say somebody's going to Yerushalayim for their whole family, they're going to bring it to Yerushalayim for the whole extended family, they were elected. So they have some heavy bags of shekels. So what they want to do is they want to change, once they have all this money, they want to change it into, let's say they have a lot of, let's say a lot of half dollars. They want to change it into dollars because it's so heavy. Some of them might get lost. There's so many of coins. So one is allowed to change the shkalim into darkonos, which were larger valued coins because of the masiyah there, because of the schlep to get there. So one is allowed to change the masiyah shekel into these other types of coins. Well, why would you think not? What would be the chiddush not to, that you're not allowed to change it into darkonos? Do you have to pay a chomesh? Because a chomesh is that you have to pay if you give something to the Beis HaMikdash. It'd be most of like Maaser Sheni. But that is where something's already kadosh. This have full kadosh. You are makdish it l'shem machzor shekel. But it could be you're not being poed anything back though. You're just giving this whole thing to the Beis HaMikdash. That's an idea. Yeah? Maaseh shekel is dafka, but here it is dafka, but you're just putting two maaseh shekels into these darkonos. So the Teferis Yisrael suggests on the Mishnayos, the parts of the Mishnayos play a big role in where there's no Babli. Teferis Yisrael says the Kamash Malan, the Afal Gab to Gabai Mikdash Vaday Shoyim Mutzrachim Lachzor Lachlipo Achas Yishkolos. The Gabai is going to have to split it up. The Gabai is going to have to get this money changed into Maaseh Shekels because he's going to have to make sure who gave what. He's not going to be able to just take the whole darkonos. Even though he's going to have to pay something, de im lokain, ef shel litrom yafe bekupa, and im se yafse de hektish kalbon, shisachu yitain al zeh, he's going to have to kind of pay a money changer fee to split this money. Still, it's okay, you know why? Because what's the other choice? Other choice is that you're going to take all these separate coins, some of them are probably going to get lost on the way, if you don't do this anyway. So it's better for the Beis HaMikdash, it's better for Hektish to take these darkonos rather than keep the Maaseh Shekels where there's a good chance they'll be lost in the Maaseh HaDerech. The Beis HaMikdash might have to change it back. So that is why, that was the Chiddush, that you still allowed to do this. That is Halacha number one in the Mishnah. Halacha number two, Kishem Shah Yishofros BaMikdash, Kach Ha Yishofros BaMedina. Just like there were shofars. What's a shofar? A shofar are the containers they used to have in the Beis HaMikdash to put the shkalim in. They had, as we'll see later in the Mishnayos of Shkalim, they had 13 containers in the Beis HaMikdash. Two of them were used for the Maaseh Shekel. This year's and last year's. Why was it called a shofar? The bottom of it was fat. As it got bigger on top, it got very thin. So you only have room, like a tzedakah box. Like I was talking about, you only have room to put in a little bit. Not only so that it doesn't fall out, but that nobody can, you can't take anything out. There's a little slit on top to put the coin in. It's exactly what the containers in the Beis HaMikdash look like. Just like there were shofars in the Mikdash, there were also shofars in the Medina. What does Medina mean? So let's say it means outside of Beis HaMikdash. So there too, they were parallel. There were people could put in the containers in their cities, and those containers then were taken to Yerushalayim. There is a machlokas rishonim that appears in a few places in Mishnayos, mostly on Mishnayos. It appears here on Mishnah Aleph Gimel. It appears where it's a known machlokas, because not many learn shkolim, but in Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the fourth parak in Rosh Hashanah, on the Chavtas Mebeis, the Mishnah there says, Yomtiv shal Rosh Hashanah shachal yos b'Shabbos, when Yomtiv falls out on Shabbos, b'mikdash hayu token avolo b'medina. They still blew shofar in Mikdash and not in Medina. What's Mikdash and Medina? So Rashi says, as we would have thought, as most of you showed him say, what is Medina? Lo b'Yerushalayim v'lo b'Gvulin. Beis HaMikdash means Beis HaMikdash. Medina means Yerushalayim and outside Yerushalayim. That is what Rashi says in a number of places. What's the definition of Mikdash and Medina? That's not so controversial. The Chiddush is the Rambam. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnah is there in Rosh Hashanah. And earlier in Shkalim, in Perek Aleph says, whenever it says Medina in whatever it says Mikdash in Mishnayos, it means Yerushalayim as well. Mikdash doesn't just mean Beis HaMikdash, it means Yerushalayim. Says the Rambam, Farbiyanu Pa'amayim, Ki Mikdash Tikra Yerushalayim Kula, U'Medina Shar Ha'ayaros Shebechol Eretz Yisrael. That's the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Mikdash means that it's a big nafkamina. Do you blow shofar on Shabbos when there's a bezdin in all Yerushalayim or just in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rambam says that you go by, Mikdash includes all of Yerushalayim. The question, though, according to the Rambam, is if the Mishnah meant, if all these Mishnayos of Rosh Hashanah and Shkalim mean Yerushalayim, so then why does it say Mikdash? Why does it call it Mikdash? According to Rashi, understand, Mikdash means Mikdash, Medina means outside of Beis HaMikdash. But according to the Rambam, our Mishnah, just like there were shofars in the Mikdash, so too shofars in the Medina, that means, according to the Rambam, just like there were shofars in Yerushalayim, so too outside Yerushalayim, which is Medina, so why is Yerushalayim called Mikdash? That's the question. So the Rav Soloveitchik suggested, and this is quoted in Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, related to the following halacha, Rav Shechter quotes this, and that is, we know there's a chi of kriya by seeing certain places in Eretz Yisrael. Chi of kriya, chi of tater, our clothing. There is a chi of tater kriya on Arei Yehuda. Arei Yehuda, Chevron, another Arei Yehuda. We don't do this b'zman hazeh, right? When we go to visit Chevron, we don't tear kriya. We know when we tear kriya, but achem, why not? So the Magen Avraham quotes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, that Arei Yehuda, there's only to take their Kriya B'Churbana, when it's in its desolation. But if it's not B'Churbana, there's no Chiyuv to take Kriya. How do you define B'Churbana? Says the Magen Avraham, is it in Jewish hands? Doesn't matter whether a chevron is built up or not. Is it in Jewish hands? So if it's in Jewish control, so says the Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, there's no chiyuv to tear kriya. So say number of achronims. That's why in over the past 50 years this halacha has changed. Right, 100 years ago, chevron was not in Jewish hands, so therefore we had a tear kriya. Bizman hazeh, yes, obviously there are a number of non-Jews that live in the area, but overall the Israeli government controls the area, so that is why there's no chi of kriya on Ari Yehuda anymore. Based on this, that's what Rav Shalta discusses here. What about on chi of kriya on Beis HaMikdash? So that obviously this still exists. Chi of kriya on the Beis HaMikdash still exists because that is b'churbana, that goes by actual desolation. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, the mosque is still standing there, so we tear kriya. What about there's an inyan of chi of kriya on Yerushalayim? So what about on the Yerushalayim? That's a special. That's not just Ari Yehuda. That's a special din. So what about on Yerushalayim? So says Rav Shalta quotes, "Bazen nechlechu gdolei zmanenu yesh sovrim she Yerushalayim haisa ikir ir hamalucha v'chovas kriya hi b'toras avelas alibadon shilto de malchus Yisrael." Some say Yerushalayim basically goes by other Ari Yehuda, and therefore, because Yerushalayim was the capital city, Davidov's capital city. So once Jews come back and control Yerushalayim, then there's no chi of kriya anymore. Soloveitchik thought otherwise. He thought that the Chi of Kriya Yerushalayim still exists. Yes, we the Minhag Ha'olam is to do Kriya only when they see the Makam HaMikdash. But really, conceptually, that Kriya is going on Yerushalayim totally as well. Why? Because, explains Rav Soloveitchik, Shechovas HaKriya Al Yerushalayim, he betaris Avelus Al HaMikdash, B'Churbana. Da'af Yerushalayim, Yespa Kedushas Mikdash, B'Mikzas. Yerushalayim has an expanded Kedushas Mikdash. Yerushalayim is really an outgrowth of Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash expands its borders. Just like we know there's a kind of Tosefes Kedusha in Zman. Tosefes Shabbos. Shabbos, the Kedusha can never stay limited. You have a Kedusha of Shabbos, it expands before Shabbos, after Shabbos. Same thing applies, Kedusha is in place. The Beis HaMikdash's Kedusha expands. Yerushalayim has a Bechina of Kedushas Mikdash. And the Rav even continues. It says, fascinating, if you look in the Torah, you find one term that means three different things in three different places. Sometimes the Torah says, Lifnei Hashem. Do this Lifnei Hashem. There are three connotations for the phrase Lifnei Hashem in the Torah. Now, sometimes Lifnei Hashem means the entire Yerushalayim. V'yachaltos shal Lifnei Hashem alokecha. Meiser, degancha, tiroshcha, talking about kashay kalim, talking about meiser sheini, you have to eat it Lifnei Hashem. That's all Yerushalayim. Then sometimes Lifnei Hashem means on Harabayis. V'chatzosos v'kol shofar hariyu Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah darshins, this means on Harabayis. And then sometimes you find Lifnei Hashem, which means in the Azara. V'shachar es ben ha-bakar Lifnei Hashem. Kachi kachim. Kachi kachim has to be shechted north of the Mizbeach in the Azara. How could the same phrase mean three different things? Lifnei Hashem. The answer is because conceptually the root Kedusha of Harabayis, of Yerushalayim, comes from the same place. It comes from Mikdash. And maybe this is why the Rambam, when the Mishnah says Mikdash, it means Yerushalayim. Because of this idea, because Yerushalayim is really Mikdash, Kedushas Mikdash. That's where the Rambam got it from. Because of these three Lifnei Hashems in the Torah, and that is, could be a basis for the Rambam. But again, in general, it's a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Whenever it has the chiluk Mikdash and Medina in Mishnayis, the Rambam and Rashi a number of times argue what that means. That's all on the second line of the Mishnah. Yeah.
In the context of Shofar, though, is it the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash that allowed, or is it because we're not worried about the
Kedusha? By Shofar, you might say, isn't that based on Kohanim's Rizim Haim, and it's people aren't going to worry? Maybe that might have been the original motivation for it, to allow it there. But once you allow it there, you have to fit into the halacha categories. And the halacha category of Mikdash, according to the Rambam, is all Yerushalayim. Okay, continuing the Mishnah, B'nei Ha'ir Sheshalchu Eshikleihen. The people of the city that sent their shkolim. So let's say we live here and live in New York. Chas v'shalom, when Mashiach comes, we'll live here. But we shouldn't live here tomorrow. We should all go there today. But let's say somebody's living outside Yerushalayim and he sends his shkolim. And on the way, v'nignu osha avdu. Let's say the shkolim gets stolen or lost from the shliach that you send. So do you have to pay again? Whose fault? Who bears the responsibility? So it depends. Im nisrima hatruma. Has we said yesterday that there were three times that the Kohen went into the into the containers of the Beis HaMikdash, took off shkalim, and had everybody in mind when he bought the karbanos with his machzis hashekel. The halacha is, as we'll see in a few minutes in the Gemara, when the Kohen takes off shkalim from these containers, he not only has in mind everybody's shekel that came already, he also has in mind everybody's shekel that's gonna come in the future. That's gonna come. That's on their way. So says the Mishnah, Im Nisra Matruma, if when this your shekel got stolen from the shomer or lost, if the Kohen had already done a truma and had you in mind already, so if he had you in mind already, then these shkalim belong to the Beis HaMikdash. Because the second that the Kohen says, I have in mind all the shkalim that are here and all the shkalim that are on their way. So if that's true, then he already had you in mind. So these shkalim basically belong to the Beis HaMikdash. If they're stolen, you're potter. Because it was stolen from the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why Nishbalim the Gizbarim. These shluchim swear to the Gizbarim, that's the Gabbai of the Beis HaMikdash, and you're potter. V'yim lav. But if it was stolen before, first it was stolen from the Shliach, and only afterwards the Truma was done, so then it was stolen while it was still in your property, still connected to you, so then Nishban le Bnei Ha'ir, the Shluchim come back to the Bnei Ha'ir and swear when it was stolen, Ubnei Ha'ir, Shoklin Tachtayin, and then they have to pay again. You have to give another shekel. What could you do? Nimsu Oshechzir Maganavim. What if they were found, or the Ganavim returned them? Elu ve'elu, and now you have two shkalim. You said the second one. So, elu ve'elu shkalim, they're both considered shkalim, ve'ein olohem l'shana haba. But you can't use them for next year. They're both considered for this year, but they're both considered shkalim. The Tiferes Yisrael points out, this is not hektish ta'us. You knew it was stolen. You were makdish this one. And you said, what can I do? I have to give it both one because I can't find those now. So that is the Mishnah. There is a beautiful diak I saw in the Pesher Davar from this Gemara from Rabbi Well, that he says that if you look at the Mishnah that we just read, why is it that first it says, when it says what happened to them, it says nignivu o avdu, stolen or lost, and then on the way back it says if they were found or returned by the ganavim, switches order. First it says stolen and lost, and then it says found or returned by the ganavim. So he says, maybe it's just, he quotes the Sefer, that he quotes the Sefer Kol Sofer, that it's maybe it just goes by the Shrichus. When it comes to stolen or lost, most people don't lose Shkalim, Stam. Stolen on the way, bandits, that's more Shriach. If you have a lot of money on the way. Mashenkin, losing all these special Shkalim, so that's not going to happen. Mashenkin, in terms of getting him back, it's more common to find what you lost than for a Ganav to return what he stole. And even he says, Meduik in the Mishnah, it says, it doesn't say you found what the Ganav stole, it says, the Ganav itself was Machzir. Maybe it's Dafka that the Ganav has to be Machzir, meaning he does true, but he returns it. What if you just found money, you say, oh, this is what was stolen. How do you know it was yours? How do you know it's the same Shkalim? So the only way you can know that is if the Ganav is Machzir, and says, this is what I stole, and this is your Shkalim. So that's Dafka, why the order is switched, and why it says, Hechzirim HaGanav. Okay, continuing the Gemara. They took out three times a year to be Yotzei, so that might be. We'll get to. We're gonna say it's a machlokas. It could be that that's a machlokas between what we had before. Why they did that, or it could be related to those who weren't even collected yet, wasn't even on the way. Might be a difference. We'll see. So it has to be the bishop seems to assume it has to be on the way already at some point that one of the shumas took place while it was on the way. That's the case. Ask the Gemara of Yasu Osan Mar, back to the first line of the Mishnah, that you can make it into darkonos, these other kinds of coins. Ask the Gemara of Yasu Osan Margalios, why don't you make it into pearls? Those are even lighter than these kinds of coins. Why don't you make it into objects, pearls? So the Gemara says, no, Shemet Tazla Margalis. You're worried about the depreciation of the pearls. Maybe the pearl market is going to go south, and therefore you worry that it's not going to be worth as much. V'nimsah Hekdesh Mafsid, and Hekdesh is going to lose. That's why you want to use money, you don't want to use objects. Gahid the Taninan, just like we learned in a Mishnah in Bechoros, Taninan Taman, Vekula Niftu Bekesef Abashav Akesef, everything, anytime you have a mitzvah or something to do with money, you could always change the Kedusha or the mitzvah on Kesef, on money, or Shav Akesef, or something that's worth money, right? What do we get married with? A ring, not with money. Or Sfar to get married to the little with coins. But let's say the Ashkenazi custom is with a ring. A ring is Shava Kesef. It's not Kesef. It's worth money. So that's what we boast. Almost everything you can use Shava Kesef. Chutz Mishkalim. Except for Shkalim, says the Mishnah. Shkalim is different. You don't want to be worried about causing a loss to the Beis HaMikdash. So too, so you don't use Shkalim. V'ein potin mekalim, and we continue and say you're not potin, you can't switch the kedusha of the shkalim onto kalim. V'yamar shol bar Rabbi Yitzchak, why? Shem yezidu akalim nimsu ahekdesh mafsid, because you're worried that the kalim are going to depreciate and hekdesh is going to lose. Oifacha, so to here, nami shem etozel amar galus v'nimsu ahekdesh mafsid. Period. So to here, that's why you can't change it onto pearls. Period. Masnisa b'tiklin chadatin. Where do we say in the Mishnah that you have all of these different shofars, even outside the Beis HaMikdash? That's only for this year's shkalim. Tiklin chadatin. Avo b'tiklin atikin lo b'da. But by last, let's say you're making up last year's payment. You forgot to give in last year's. You're a year behind, so then you got to go to the Beis HaMikdash. There's no containers for latecomers outside the Mikdash. V'tani Kane, I also learned this, atikin b'mikdash v'en atikin b'medina. Old ones are only in the Beis HaMikdash and not in the Medina. Next limitation, masnisin b'shomer chinam. The discussion of our Mishnah, where the gizbar, remember where, if the chuma happened first, then they swear to the Beis HaMikdash and their pater. If the skeneva happened first, they swear to the owners, the people who paid in their pater. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah must be talking about a Shomer Chinam. A Shomer Chinam. If you remember back from Bava Metzia days, that there are three, or maybe four types of guards, types of Shomer. A Shomer Chinam is a guard that it works for free. A guard that works for free is Shomer Chinam. He is only Chayiv in Pshia, in negligence. Everything else he's Pater from. Geneva Vaveda he's Pater from, if it's stolen or lost. That's a Shomer Chinam. Shomer Sachar is paid, Sachar. He is Chayiv even for Geneva Vaveda. Even if he says, I promise you it was stolen, he's still chayev. Chayev geneva aveda. He's pater from onsin, from total accidents which are out of his control, earthquakes, etc. Then you have shoel, which the Gemara is not discussing. Shoel is chayev even in onsin. Shoel is chayev, he uses it as if he owns it partially. That's why he's chayev even in onsin. He has a few pturim. Mesa machlis balacha ba'al of emo. Hopefully we'll get to that one day. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says a person could swear and be putter, must be talking about a Shomer Chinam. Because who else? That's the only Shomer that could swear that it was stolen and he's putter. Aval, b'Shomer Sachar, lo b'da. But by a Shomer Sachar, it can't be talking about a Shomer Sachar, because a Shomer Sachar who paid, who swears it was stolen, is still Chayiv. So it can't be talking about that case. Rabbi Abba, no. But feel the tamer b'Shomer Sachar. I could come up with a case where even it's even about a Shomer Sachar, cases of stolen and lost that were ones. So then even a Shomer Sachar is going to be potter. Nigrevu, what do you mean stolen ballista mezuyin? It means armed robbers. Armed robbers, even a Shomer Sachar is potter for. Because that's called an ones. That's geneva, that's karvla ones. Or Abdu, if it was lost, k'misha tava svinasa bayam. The boat went down at sea. It wasn't a regular, I lost something. But it was a total ones. So those are cases of geneva and aveda that a Shomer Sachar would even be potter for. There is a problem, yep. If I donate that to the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to get to a machlokas amoram about that on a base. So let's keep that machlokas, reyochan reshlokas. Shkolim might be different than other items you give to the Beis HaMikdash. There is a concept that usually giving something to the Beis HaMikdash is easier than giving something to Hedyot. That's the principle, amiraso legavoa kemisiraso lehedyot. Even saying something, it's easier a lot of times to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, but shkolim might be different, because shkolim is going to be used specifically to buy karbanos. So we might not be able to take general rules of Hakdasha to these cases. We'll get to that on the base. There is a problem with the sheet of the Rambam. So if you look at the Rambam, and the Kesef Mishnah leaves this Tzarech Iyun. The Kesef Mishnah says, if you look at the Rambam in Shkalim Paragimel, the Rambam says that he has the case of our Mishnah dealing with the Shomer Sachar. And then the Rambam says, but by a Shomer Chinam, the Bailam will for sure, in every case, no matter if the Shuma happened yet or not, the Bailam will definitely have to pay again. Why? Because it's their fault they gave it to a Shomer Chinam. They shouldn't have given it to a Shomer Chinam. They should have given it to a higher level Shomer. The Kesef Mishnah just doesn't know how the Rambam read the Gemara. Sounds like from the Gemara it's about a Shomer Chinam, and maybe a Shomer Sachar too if you have these cases. But the Rambam seems to say that a Shomer Chinam you're always chayef to pay again, because it's your fault that you gave it to such a low level Shomer. So it's Tzarechin exactly how the Rambam reads the Gemara, but that's the sheet of the Rambam, and the Kesef Mishnah is mitama on that. Rav Yosti, Bar of Simon. This is what Yisrael asked before. Our Mishnah seems to be assuming, like the opinion, which we're going to have later on, that when the Kohen is Torein, takes off some Shkalim from the container of the Beis HaMikdash, he has in mind Al HaGavui, those that were collected already, those that are sitting here in the Beis HaMikdash, V'Alazim Ligvos, and also those that are going to be Nigveh, Pashtus, those that are already on the road already. So he also has those in mind. And that's why we have the chilik of when did it take place? Did it take place before it was stolen or after it was stolen? Biram, Kamanda Amar, in Tormin, Lo Ala Gavui, Velo Ala Siglivos. But according to the opinion that says that he does not have in mind that which is not here yet, so then Lo Bada, the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Because then, until it gets there, so then it doesn't, you didn't have a Truma that was related to it, and therefore you'd always have to pay again. There is a Rashi in Ksubis, which we spoke about a couple years ago, before Purim. There's a Rashi in Ksubis that says an amazing pshat on Al Ha'asir Ligvos. Rashi says, Al Ha'asir Ligvos, V'afilu lo nigvel acher mikan. Even if you never give your shkalim, you're still included in the Truma. And then you get kapara of the karbanos. Why? Says Rashi, Yesh lo chelik b'truma uba karbanos. Elo shechiser mitzvah. Nimsa schar mit. That's what Rashi says. Ala Asad Ligvos means no matter what, every Jew, unless he's Lahachas, but every Jew is included in the kapara of the Karbanis. This is mitzvah nesina that you didn't fulfill. But Ala Asad Ligvos means even if it never is fulfilled. Again, there's a lot to say about that Rashi, but we'll see if we have time at the end. If not, we'll start with it tomorrow. But that is a Rashi in Ksubis. That is an Tosfos there argues on Rashi. The Ritva argues on Rashi. But that is Rashi in Ksubis daf Kufav, that even if a person never contributes, he still is included in the kapara of the Karbanis. This is just a separate mitzvah nesina which you did not fulfill. Also relates to the discussion of women that we had yesterday. Does nesina relate specifically to the carbon mosaf? Vaiter, b'nei yir sheshalchu shikleihem. Though the people of the city send their shkalim, and we have all the different cases who the gizbarim swear to. The problem which the Gemara is about to try to answer is, we know there's usually a rule, the Mishnah says this in Bava Metzia, ein nishba'in al ha'hekdeshos. You don't swear, but when it comes to inyani hektesh. The special clear sechasa. Ein ishban al akarka, ein ishban al this, ein ishban al avadim, ein ishban al akdeh. You don't swear when it comes to hektish. So how could he swear here? How could the shliach swear to the gizbar, to the owner, to the person who sent it? So how could that be? So Amar Belazar, to answer that, Dereb Shimoni, really the mission is going according to Reb Shimon. Dereb Shimon, Amar Reb Shimon says there are certain kachim that are considered owned by hedyot, and therefore you'd swear regarding them. Kachim Shuchai Bachra Yusan Kinachasav Hain. Reb Shimon holds that Kachim that you are obligated in their achrayas, meaning if they would get stolen, you'd have to pay for them. Right? It's not that you could say the loss is on the Hekdish. So those types of Kachim, so Kinachasav Hain, they're like your property regarding if something happens to them and regarding Shavua. So the Mishnah is according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, who says that there are certain types of Kachim that you're allowed to swear on. Amr of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is different. No, Divrei Kohli. The Mishnah is according to everybody. Why? Because this Shvuah that we're talking about in the Mishnah is not a Me'ikir Hadin to Araisa Shvuah. It's Mishum Shvuah Stakana. It's a Dinder Abanon. That when you're dealing with Hektish and you don't want people to take it in a light vein, you want people to be serious about the Shkalim, to guard them properly, so you make them take a Shvuah. Even though Me'ikir Hadin, they don't need a Shvuah. Even though Me'ikir Hadin ain't a Shvuah, like the issues, you still make them take a Shvuah. Al Dasar to Rabbi Yochanan Nicha. So says a court said the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I understand Nicha like Bishlama in the Bavli. I understand according to Rabbi Yochanan how the different shvuas work. Remember, there are two choices. Either if the truma happened first before the geneva, then the shliach is going to swear to the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash is not going to get the shkalim. If the geneva happened first, then the shliach is going to swear to the owners, and they're going to have to pay again. So says the Gemara. I understand both of those according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Shvu is all a dinder abanan, nishvan legizbarin, v'yem lav nishvan lebnei ha'ir, v'nei ha'ir shoklin, acherim tachteyem. I understand that. Mishum Shvu at stakana. It's all a dinder abanan. So dinder abanan, you can swear to whoever you want. Ella, l'Rebbe Lazar. But according to Rebbe Lazar, who says that we're dealing here with the Shvu at the Oraisa, and it's according to Rebbe Shimon, who says it's because Kachim that you're obligated in their achrayas, so then there are shvuas related to them. So nishban le bnei ha'ir. So I understand the nishban to the bnei ha'ir when they swear to the owners, because there's all people who are chayiv. The people who sent the shkalim, they're the ones who are chayiv achriyusan. They're the ones that are in charge of being responsible. But when they're sworn to, they have to pay again. So that makes sense. Hadahi Reb Shimon. But nishban le gizbarin, gizbar might be the tayu. But even according to Reb Shimon, if they're swearing to the Gizbar, they're swearing to the Beis HaMikdash, there is no hedyot there. That's all a hektish context. So even Reb Shimon wouldn't allow a shvua there. Even Reb Shimon, what did Reb Shimon allow? Reb Shimon says you're allowed to swear in a case of kachim shechayev achar yusan, where you have a hedyot, you have a non-Beis HaMikdash person who is responsible for these shkalim or these animals. But if you're swearing to the gizbar, then there's nobody like that involved. So if it's all a din derabanan like Reb Yochanan, everything, if it's fine, it's all derabanan. But if it's you're trying to say it's on a daraisa level and it's like Reb Shimon, then what kind of shvua is this? So the Gemara answers, you're right. They never swear to the gizbar. What did the Mishnah mean that they swear to the Beis HaMikdash? No, it means as follows. Nishvoin l'bnei ha'ir b'mamad ha'gizbarim. The shvua here is just about the shliach. He wants to get paid for bringing the shkalim. And he wants to swear and he wants to publicize that he didn't do anything wrong. So he swears back to the owners in the presence of the gizbarim. Not to the gizbar, but in the presence of the gizbarim, so that this is what happened because he wants to get paid. So they're not choshed him that he stole the shkalim. Inami delal nishvelahu boshim. So they don't suspect that he was just negligent with the money. But really, both oaths, both shvuas, are going in the direction of the owners of the shkalim. That is why it fits in according to Reb Shimon. In one case, the owners are going to have to pay again. In one case, they're not going to have to pay again. But in both cases, they're swearing to the people who sent the shkalim. Yeah. Yeah, Alex.
So the treasurers have to travel from
Yerushalayim
to...
Again, in this case, I don't know if it happens so often, but this has to do with the series boxes of Shekel. They probably had to go there anyway to make sure they were taking the census. So they had to know exactly how many people weren't going to send their shkolim. So they had to make sure they had messengers. They had messengers to go around. Yeah. If you're worried about Pshia, even a Shomer Chinam. But they just wanted to make sure that this might be like a Gedeva Veda Kar of Lapshia, so it might be that they just wanted to get themselves in the clear. Next line of the Gemara, just one line related to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, remember, said it's all the Shvuah Drabanan. So the Gemara just even adds, according to him, Aval Bishakiblu B'nei Ha'ir L'Shalem, Enact is Yossi below Shvuah. What if the Shliach comes back and says, you know what, this is what happened? So the owner says, you know what, forget the Shvuah. Just take these extra shkolim. I'll pay again. Don't worry about it. I want to make sure the Beis HaMikdash gets what it deserves. We don't allow that. Because we want people to take the shliach might not, if he knows that the guy's going to just send an extra shekel, he might not guard it so well. We want people to take shvuas. Shvuas are serious business. And therefore we make him take the shvuah when it comes to the issue of hektish. Weiter, hefish shiklov avad, related to what Menachem said before. What if I separate my shekel? I didn't give it to anybody yet. I put it on my dresser. I'm going to give this to the machzor, to the Beis HaMikdash, and then somehow it got lost. It got mixed up with the rest of my money. So says Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayv Achar Yuso. Achim Serena Legizber. Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to pay, you have to get another one. It's your responsibility until it gets to the Beis HaMikdash. Reb Shimon Melakish Omer, no. Hekdish Bershus HaGavoa B'chol Makom Shehu. Reish Lakish says, no. The second that you're makdish it, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It got lost, okay. It got lost to the Beis HaMikdash. But that is the din of Reish Lakish. The second that you're makdish it, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a lot of lumdus, what this machlokus is about. We don't have time right now. Masnisa pliga Reb Shimon Lakish. The Mishnah seems to go against Reish Lakish, right? Because what does Reish Lakish say? The second that you're makdish it, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. But one second, our Mishnah made whole chilik with when did it get stolen before. But it was already on the road. According to Reish Lakish, it for sure should be considered as being stolen from the Beis HaMikdash. Right, because the Mishnah says, Yishpon l'bnei ha'ir, b'nei yir shokhlin tachtayin. Right, so the Mishnah doesn't make sense according to Reish Lakish. So the Gemara answers, no. Lo od he mishem shvuas takana. Didn't we say that the Mishnah might be on a derabanan level, extra oaths just to be covered for the Beis HaMikdash? So that's how Reish Lakish might interpret it. Really, Maker Din, you don't have to take an oath. Really, you don't have to pay again. But it's all mishum covered for the Beis HaMikdash. Tani, back to the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? If you found the shkolim that was stolen or lost, so they're both hektish. So the Brisa says, the first shkolim go to the new years, and the second shkolim go to the old years, which is the new, which is the old. Elohena Rishonim, Elohen Hashim. Which are the first, which are the second? Are the first ones that you were mafrish, or the first ones that reached the Beis HaMikdash? So, Rabbi Pinchas has a machlokas. Rabbi Pinchas de Reb Chia, Reb Abba Mari, Chad Onamar, Elu Shesholcha B'nei Ha'ir Tchila. Some say the first means the ones that they sent first, even though they got lost. V'charana Amar, and others say, Elu Shigil de Gizbar Tchila. No, it's the ones that got to the Gizbar first, meaning the second ones. So it's a machlokas, which ones belong to which year. Interesting, you look at the Rambam quotes both opinions. The Rambam quotes, Yesh Misha Omer, this, and Yesh Misha Omer, that. And the Rabban on the Rambam says, Ayin b'Yerushalmi machlokas amoraim. This is in Gimel Tess in Shkalim. First, I'm trying to figure out what's the Raavad trying to do here. The Rambam knows this is Machlokas Amarav. The Rambam quoted both opinions. And the Raavad is usually attacking the Rambam. So what's the Raavad's hasaga here? Or some may suggest maybe the Raavad thinks it's a parallel Machlokas about something else where the Rambam does pask in one way, so why does he quote both opinions here? Either way, it's interesting. Raavad, the Raavad just says, the Rambam quotes the Machlokas, the Raavad says Machlokas Amarav. We have to figure out exactly what the Raavad meant. Okay, Masisan, I know Saint Shekel Lachadeiro Lishkol Al Yada Over Shekel De Atzmo. I give Ruvain a shekel. Take this to the base of English for me to give for my Machzor a shekel. So the guy goes and then gives it for himself. He doesn't give it for me. He gives it for himself. What's the halacha? Im Nisra Mahatruma. If when he gave his shekel, the Kohen had already done truma from the container. So what does that mean? Like we had in the last Mishnah, the second that the Kohen takes off, he has me in mind. It's as if it belongs to the base of English already. So if he takes it for himself, ma'al, he violates the isur da'oraisa of me'ilah, of getting benefit from the Beis HaMikdash. Again, because it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash the second that the truma is done. Hashok al shiklo min ha'hekdish, different case. Let's say I have money that I, yeah?
What about
me'ilah is a form of gezel hektish. Me'ilah is a form of gezel hektish. Hashok al shiklo min ha'hekdish, if somebody, let's say, has money put aside in his house that he wants to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. He already said this is Beis HaMikdash money. He got mixed up, and he gave that money for his shekel. And v'nisrima truma v'karva habehem amal. And then he sends that money, that's supposed to be his shekel, and then the Kohen takes off truma and buys a behema with it, and a behema is hukrav. So then the person who sent the money, instead, the raw money, he violates me'ilah. Because it's really based on mikdash money that is being used for something that shouldn't be used. It should be used for bedek habayis. And it's being used for a carbon seabird. So that's why the original guy is Moel. Third din, b'maaser sheni b'dei shviyas. Let's say by mistake a person sent maaser sheni money or shviyas money for his shekel. So then, if he realizes it, then there's a way to solve the problem. Yochal kenegdon. He could eat, he could use food or money parallel to that amount. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. In the last few lines of the Gemara, we'll see what it means. Let's at least do two lines. Hashokel says the Mishnah, Anat Aninim Karva HaBehima. The Mishnah says, in the second case, where you use Beis HaMikdash money by mistake, and you send it, so when does the person violate Mi'ilah? Once the Behema, what's the language of the Mishnah? After Nisr Matruma, and Karva HaBehima Mal. Only once the animal is shechted and brought on to the Mizbeach, that's when Mi'ilah is violated. But Vitani in the Braisa, we say you don't need that far. Vitani to be Rebbe and Mr. Ba'atruma. Rebbe says, no, right when the Truma is done, right when you take the money out of the container. You don't have to wait till you mock of the Behema. So, when is it? When is Mi'ilah violated? Skip the parentheses. So the answer is, Rebbe Shimo, Mantana in Mr. Ba'atruma, who says you could go right away by the second that you take the Truma out? Rebbe Shimini is like the Shvita of Rebbe Shimon, Diyama Rebbe Shimon, Miyara Imakala Ma'osav, Vahakonim's Rizim Haim. Where is that Rebbe Shimon? Comes up later on. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to have the concept that there were certain suppliers to the Beis HaMikdash, a flour and oil and wine. People supplied everything that was needed for the Nesachim. They were prepaid. The Beis HaMikdash prepaid all these suppliers. The question, though, is they were prepaid, so they gave all this flour and oil and wine to the Beis HaMikdash. But according to one opinion in the Mishnah, later on, Beis HaMikdash didn't want to lose just in case some of the stuff would go bad. So the transaction was held in abeyance until it was used. Even though they paid for it already, it's still owned by the supplier until it's used. Just in case it goes bad, so the loss should be incurred by the supplier. That's what the Tanakhama there holds. Reb Shimon says no. Reb Shimon says the Kohanim take extra special care of these supplies, and you don't have to worry about anything going bad. So the second that they were paid, so the transaction kicks in. That's the Reb Shimon the Mishnah is referring to here. Just like Reb Shimon in that case says the second that they're paid, so then the transaction kicks in, so too here, the second that the Truma is taken out, and it's the you're about to exchange it, you're about to use this for the carbon tzibur, so right then already the transaction is done, and it's as if it's me'il, it takes place right then. You don't have to have the actual hakrava of the animal. Okay, we'll stop here. A couple lines, we'll go quickly by the Shem tomorrow. We'll stop here by the word vakasha. That's what we're up to. Today's shiur was L'zecha Nishmas, Frumit Bas Yitzchak Moshe.